Hey guys, you remember that live show we did last year?
Barely. That's when I was on Jack Daniel's pretty hard.
When did you go off Jack Daniel's exactly?
When I ran out.
Well, I do remember what you're talking about, Dave, but I remember it being really excruciating and painful, and I'm glad we're not doing that again.
Oh, well, good news, guys. We're doing it again this year. Oh,
Great, I look
good.
forward to it.
I've got ideas for different props this time.
So the Philly Podcast Festival invited us back again this year. And we will be doing the show live on August 20th.
And we
Excellent.
promise 100% less air horns.
That's right. We'll be live again this August 20th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time at Amalgam Comics and Coffee House at 2578 Frankfort Avenue in Philadelphia, PA. And
Awesome.
yes, and we're going to have a guest this time, guys. Well, we had a guest last time, but this time, Ariel Johnson, the owner of and CEO of Amalgam Comics, will be there. And it's going to be a good time, I promise you.
Great.
Well, I look forward to whatever props John's bringing.
Yes.
See, I got to pack my flask, a puppy, and a copy of Mein Kampf.
And the best part to everyone out there, it's free. So if you want to see us do this foolishness live, come out and join us and support some local podcasts as part of the Philly Podcast.
Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And Ben.
And John.
And this week, we are here to talk to everyone about some movie that we all saw over the weekend. And of course, I'm talking about The Secret Life of Pets. Oh, wait, no.
That's next week, Dave.
That's right, I forgot.
Because we're so timely.
Of course.
We're going to do an honest breakdown of the original Ghostbusters.
All right. So Bill Murray, I thought was... Oh, wait. No. Unfortunately, we're here to talk about Suicide Squad. Whoa, wait a minute. Unfortunate.
Item number three.
Spoilers.
Why do all the graphics look like Jackson Pollock regurgitated a partially digested remnant of the cast of Rainbow Bright, Strawberry Shortcake, and the Teletubbies?
All right, cut. That was great. I'd like you to do it once more with a little bit more feeling.
Item number three.
Okay.
Damn it. I could have a few invectives,
because,
in there, you know.
Because all the people complained that Man of Steel and Batman v Superman didn't have enough color in it.
Right.
So they gave us all these pastel colors in Suicide Squad.
No. So they gave us off color.
And attempts at humor.
Off color.
All right.
All of them.
Yes.
So we're not. Okay, hold on. Now, I don't think we should. Because we can't just totally derail. I mean, not derail. We can't totally bash this movie. There were some good parts.
Yes, it wasn't Superman v Batman.
I don't know. I had problems on multiple levels with the overall story of this movie and how it was constructed. Let me kick off with this.
Okay.
On the premise of the story itself, the plot line. Now, there are certain elements to storytelling that you adhere to. And there's a couple different ways to do things. There's not one way of going about telling a story, but one way of telling a story is that when you have a group of protagonists, as the Suicide Squad serves that purpose in this movie as anti-heroes, when the protagonists are kept in the dark on certain elements of what they're going up against, it is fairly common to also keep the audience in the dark of what it is they're going up against, so that we and the team find these things out at the same time.
And have the same reactions, and therefore we have a connection to them because we're feeling the same thing.
Right. This movie blatantly failed to do that multiple times. In blatantly showing us early on that all of this mayhem going on in Midway City was being caused by the Enchantress and her brother, by showing us before they got to that point that they had Waller... Mm-hmm. You know, using her information to target places across the globe and satellites in orbit. Like, it's bad storytelling.
All right, well, let me back you up a little bit first, okay?
Well, let me just say one thing before you get started. You know how when you do these reviews, you're supposed to, like, insulate yourself from other reviews in order to make sure that what you're saying is coming from you and that you're not, like, influenced either way? Yeah, I did the opposite of that. I've seen every review out there, so I'm going to be quoting a lot of them.
Okay, okay, so...
I read very few, so my things come from me.
As usual, there will be many spoilers. I think we've already said a couple, so...
Well, the movie itself was spoiled, so that was unavoidable.
I did say the word spoiler a couple minutes ago before John started ranting.
Oh, okay.
So we're covered.
Right. Damn it. See, I've got to be faster next time is what you're saying.
Exactly.
So let's start back to the basic premise. The basic premise is Amanda Waller, who works for the government, wants to put together a team of supervillains.
Just remember, Amanda Waller, not the dead one.
team of supervillains to combat supernatural threats. But there is no imminent supernatural threat in the beginning of the movie.
No,
Lo and behold... There becomes a supernatural threat that they have to fight, which was caused by the concept of what she was doing to form the team.
Right. This is like the people trying to stop the prophecy from becoming reality, and in the process creating the reality that the prophecy said would, but without a prophecy to begin with.
It was a self-fulfilling prophecy, is what I'm
except
I
there was
say.
No prophecy. They just did. It was like Bobby Burns said in his review. And I fully agree, it is a series of things that happened that were filmed, but there was no cohesion among any of them.
I mean, I will defend Amanda Waller in that I don't see her initial actions of trying to establish this task force as being, I wouldn't even call them out of left field. I think that they were justified by anyone who operates at the level that she does and has the level of cynicism and paranoia that she does, having seen the events that unfolded that basically encompassed the previous two movies, you know, seeing the destruction that came at the hands of supposed heroes. And yes, there was not an imminent threat that they knew of, but that doesn't mean that one couldn't come along and she wanted to be prepared. It's the whole reason for the nuclear arms race.
It was like, the last thing anything reasonable happened in this movie, but you're right. Yes, absolutely right.
But the issue is that they're doing it in the they're showing us them putting together this team from criminals. Whereas in the Marvel Universe, I hate to jump there on that side already, they put together the Avengers Initiative by bringing heroes together of a team of extraordinary people to defend the planet in case something happens.
Right. Yeah. Well, we already knew Batman was doing that, so they couldn't steal his thunder.
No, he didn't know that until the end credits, until after all this happened, which is like point one of where this all started going wrong. Is the whole point of the Suicide Squad was that they were supposed to be a covert operation that went after threats that nobody knew about, not things that were happening that were blowing up entire cities, but threats that were coming from, you know, from some island dictator or something.
Things they can cover up easily.
Right. And since they needed to be able to cover it up easily, they used, you know, the villains and with the bombs in the necks and all of that. And so they had plausible deniability. The way it was explained in this movie made no sense, because if they were responding to a threat of Batman or Superman going rogue, what she would have done is she would have done what Batman was doing, which is go out and find other people that, I mean, you know, start with Captain Atom, for crying out loud. He's part of the army anyway. Not that he's in this universe yet, but he probably is hanging around somewhere.
What would have made more sense is if this took place before Batman v Superman, and that they were putting together a team in case Superman went rogue.
Right, but Superman was already gone.
Yeah. But right, Superman's already dead, and they established that in the movie that he's dead, and it's like, well, then why, you know, what is the initial purpose other than fear and paranoia, you know? Yeah.
Yes. And anyway, I mean, starting from the beginning of the movie, it was too disjointed. The whole beginning of the movie, it was like, and we know that there were reshoots, and you know, the studio kept telling everybody, why are you worried about the reshoots? Everybody does reshoots, blah, blah, blah. But the rumors were that they were doing reshoots because they were trying to make it more like the Avengers or whatever. And now you watch the movie and the whole beginning is like It was like they were trying to give everybody a theme song and then forgot to finish halfway through.
I know, and that bugged me that they had these whole, like, character backstory and thematic backgrounds to three of the seven characters. Like, that didn't quite add up to me. Like, the fact that you got a full treatment on some of them, especially on, like, Deadshot and Harley Quinn, but they half-assed it with Boomerang and barely did anything on backstory for Killer Croc. And I don't think anyone else, period, got backstory.
Well, like I was about to say, then the person you had left was Slipknot, who got no backstory whatsoever, which that telegraphed to me right away, he's the one that's going to die.
Oh, number 26. Number 26. Slipknot, who now? The only purpose of his character was to make this shit real, yo.
Yeah. I knew the minute the Captain Boomerang, like, started confiding in him that they were, you know, they should try to escape, I was like, oh, he's going to die. Immediately, he's dead. And that's why he didn't get any backstory. Like, I was waiting to see at least one example of him using whatever supposed abilities he had.
Yeah. Well, his supposed ability was he could climb really good. He's right there. He's right up there with the shoveler, man. I feel for him, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and I did look it up. He is an actual DC villain who is actually dead in the comics. So it was like, that's another thing. I mean, you know.
Yeah, way to Shyamalan twist that one, huh?
Exactly. Like, and died by decapitation in the comics.
I'm surprised he wasn't wearing a red shirt when he walked on screen.
Yeah, well, so
you just couldn't see the color because of how washed out everything was.
Oh God. Yeah, I know. The credits are, you know, like I said, and then they go back to their whole washed out
the Snyderverse. You
know, yeah, the Schneidering. Ugh.
Well, and that was the whole thing too. Like, you give us a team movie without having backstories on the character and not introducing them in their own movies. And, you know, when you put together a cast like that, there a lot of people said, oh, we're going to put someone like Will Smith in there. There's a chance this is going to become a Will Smith movie. Well, guess what? It kind of became a Will Smith movie.
Yeah. Number 15. Will Smith is hilarious and you will quote everything he says.
I will say he was very good in this movie, and definitely more was written for him than was written for anybody else, it seemed.
Right.
Harley. But he did the best he could with the role he was given. And I think he did it well, and I wouldn't mind seeing more of this Deadshot in other movies if they write it decently.
Mm-hmm.
But I still kinda like, I don't know, I felt bad for him even being a part of any of this.
Well, I think they took all of the charisma that they saved when they did After Earth and put it into this one. And that's what saved this. I mean, if it wasn't for his charisma, nobody would have pulled that one off very well.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that some of the lines that he had, he put in.
It's possible.
It didn't match any of the other humor.
Yeah. I think that they could have balanced it better, though. And that actually bothered me a bit, that it wasn't balanced. It was very much biased towards him and towards Harley, as if those were the only characters they cared about building up in this movie. And they could have done more with more of the characters. Like, for instance, there's the whole scene where Deadshot tries to draw Diablo up to actually using his fire and using his abilities. You know, and then afterwards, like, you know, I was just doing that to try to get you, you know, to do your thing. You know, that exchange, that whole exchange could have just as easily happened with Captain Boomerang instead. And it would have made Captain Boomerang's part that much bigger in the movie.
Right.
Yeah. Number 23. I can respect Captain Boomerang because he's a closet brony.
Dude,
otherwise... No. Otherwise, he's a useless character. Why didn't you go with the characterization from Arrow, damn it?
You know, the only reason he had that stupid unicorn was because they were trying to copycat Deadpool.
Yeah. Oh, God, seriously.
It definitely felt like that. And I would bet money that unicorn appeared when they did the reshoots.
I absolutely believe that, too. That was only in the reshoots that came up. And that was in response to, you know, trying to make it funnier like Deadpool.
Yeah, but if they were going to make it funnier, they would have had it like getting its head blown off by one of the bad guys and then him saying sitting there going, no, or something like that, you know?
Right.
Just do something with it. Don't just let it just fall out of his jacket once in a while. I mean,
yeah,
it's a little uncomfortable there, actually.
You know what? I would like to see more of with him? Boomerangs.
Like I said, the characterization in Arrow was deadly. This guy was just hanging out looking for his next drink.
Pretty much.
Yeah. He had one special boomerang that had a camera on it. One scene. That was it.
I mean, they had to take down all these weird goons. Like, why couldn't you see more, clever boomerang action in that scene?
Because it was a Will Smith and
exactly
and Margot Robbie movie. That's why.
Yes. Number 17. No one else is hilarious, and you will forget everything they say.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we had one character who only spoke in Japanese.
Right. Oh, that character was there?
That character. Yes, that one. That one. The one with the mask. Yeah.
Katana.
Right.
Yeah, that one. She's getting her own movie.
I should hope so, because she wasn't really in this one.
She didn't really have... I mean, I don't even know why they put her in here. I mean,
I don't either. She didn't need to be there. There literally was no reason for her to be on the screen at all in any of this movie.
Well, there was a reason for her to be here, but it was for the end, and we'll talk about that a little bit later.
You mean with the sword?
Yes. We'll talk about it at the end.
I think even that's even a stretch. Someone else could have had a sword. She could have picked up a boomerang from the ground. See, again, a way that boomerang could have been more pivotal in this movie. There could have been a boomerang sitting there, and that's what she picked up to cut out her heart.
Well.
And then you wouldn't need Katana at all.
It could have been Captain Boomerang throwing it and her catching the boomerang and using it. And then Captain Boomerang still would have, like, actually had a difference and made a difference instead of having some kid have dropped a boomerang and she used that.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways that could have gone differently, and they wouldn't have needed the sword.
Right. And then, we're going to wait on Harley and Joker. Let's get through the rest of them first.
Okay. Do you want to talk about the antagonist yet, or?
All right. So let's talk about the writing and execution here. My big problem here is that I've already talked about the storytelling and the fact that it they blew their load several times as far as information in this movie. And they also, I just was not thrilled with the writing in general. Like all the best jokes were in the previews. Any of the humor that was worthwhile, you saw in the previews. There wasn't anything in the movie that really was stellar or noteworthy. Humor-wise, at least.
There were a few other lines from Will Smith that didn't make it into the trailers, but for the most part, I completely agree.
Right. Yeah. No. And that's true. I mean, there wasn't a lot of humor though. There was humor, but the best humor was in the trailer.
Yeah. Nobody else said anything that wasn't in the trailer that was funny.
Right. And like one of the things. Okay. I don't want to lean on other reviewers, but the other thing I've seen a couple of times they talked about was momentum, and the fact that the bar scene,
mm-hmm.
like there was all this momentum and then they stopped to have this bar scene where they all got to know each other a little bit better, and that's where they made their decision to go do it. But the only person that really made their decision, the only one who made sense who made their decision, was Will Smith.
See, I completely understand stopping at a bar during a world crisis.
Yeah. That makes complete sense to me. But at the same time, it did feel a little bit out of place. It didn't feel like there was enough emotional catharsis in that scene.
Right.
As there should have been.
Well, finding the good tequila would have been the emotional crisis thing.
And there was also, characters and subplots. I feel like, usually a good subplot is something that is an undercurrent, a side thing that may not seem pivotal, but eventually comes to play an important part in the overall story. None of the subplots that they introduced in this movie fit that bill. I know we're putting off the Joker thing, but honestly, the Joker didn't need to be in this movie at all.
He
served no purpose.
See, that's the whole thing. That I truly believe that the only reason Harley was on the Suicide Squad was so that they could introduce Joker, and so that they could have a Joker for the solo Batman movie, and that they could pre-establish him a little bit before they came. Because why is Harley on this team? Makes no sense for Harley Quinn to be on this on the Suicide Squad.
Well, she's been on the Suicide Squad before. Right.
There's canon to her being part of the Suicide Squad. She did serve a purpose in the team, in the culmination of things, and I don't have a problem with her being part of the team. What I have a problem with is they could have introduced Joker in backstory and left out the current subplot of him trying to rescue her. They could have left it out entirely, and the movie would have been better for it.
It took away from developing the current characters that they had.
Right. And it made for diversions that served no purpose.
Well, also, it didn't make sense because he failed at rescuing her.
Right.
And then
she just ends up back at where she was in the first place.
Exactly.
It didn't change the story in any way.
Joker. Number 7. The Joker looked like James O'Keefe when he was dressed up like a pimp for the Acorn hit pieces. Which is to say, I didn't like Jared Leto's portrayal of the Joker. I think it was completely off.
Yeah, there was something about it. It was not any version of the Joker I recognized.
If you called him just a disgruntled pimp, it wouldn't have made any difference to the portrayal.
Right.
He wasn't the Joker.
Right. The thing about the Joker is, yes, he can be insane and off the wall and make you think that he's just ridiculous, but there's an intelligence behind it, a plotting behind it, that he knows what he's doing, he knows where he's going with things, that it's all an act, a ruse, to cover up the fact that, well, yes, he is crazy, but he's also brilliantly crazy. And,
actually, go ahead.
And that side of it wasn't there. He was just nutty and essentially a thug.
There's a piece, I forget where, I'll have to find it again, that goes on about, actually it was on YouTube. It was about how the Joker isn't technically insane. He's actually super sane, realizes that he's a comic book character. And the joke is that he knows he can kill anybody he wants and it doesn't matter because it's fiction, but he knows that he's in it.
That's pretty stupid.
No,
anyway.
actually works out. But the thing is that the portrayal in here is, actually it's exactly like Ben says. He was just a thug. He was a thug in whiteface, basically.
Well, first off, the problem is that we just had, Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was nearly a decade now?
8 years, I think.
Yeah, wow. Huh.
So, but again, 8 years ago, it's not like it was 20 or 30 years ago.
Sure.
And it was, probably the best portrayal of Joker on screen that's ever been done. So, or at least the Joker that everyone who's been a fan of the comics wanted to see. And the thing is, you couldn't copy that. Because if you copied that, then it's Jared Leto's just doing a Heath Ledger impersonation. So
yeah, but there's been other portrayals of him.
Right.
There's been even like Bruce Timm's Justice League. In the comic books, there's been plenty of portrayals of him being, like Ben said, brilliant and insane, but brilliant.
You're not letting me finish.
Go ahead.
And the thing the thing that makes, I think, the Joker, the thing that made the Heath Ledger's Joker brilliant, and I think the thing that makes any good portrayal of the Joker brilliant is you should be afraid of the Joker. You should believe that everyone around is afraid of him, and you yourself, watching him on screen, kind of be afraid of him a little bit. Like, if he was really sitting here next to me, I would be scared of this guy because he's insane. Like you said, he just comes off as a gang thug, so you're not as scared of him as you would be of, Heath Ledger's Joker.
It was his unpredictability that made him scary, because you didn't know if he was going to kill you. You could have been the most useful person to him. He could have died. You could have a bomb taped to your hand, and if you die, he dies, and he still might kill you. You just don't know.
Now, if they had done, what would have made this movie brilliant and would have made this, like, oh my God, everyone would have loved this movie.
Give him the unicorn?
If they did a comparison of Amanda Waller and the Joker. Controlled chaos and complete chaos, and people are just afraid of them, and they'll kill even the people working for them to get done what they've got to get done.
Oop,
See, your dog agrees with
someone agrees.
Yes.
Well, getting back to the idea of portrayals, yes, I understand Heath Ledger was a recent and seminal portrayal. But that said, he was not the only. And I would argue that A, Jack Nicholson did a better job as Joker, and B, Cesar Romero did a better job as Joker.
Than Heath Ledger?
No, than Jared Leto.
I wouldn't say Cesar Romero, but...
No, I'm going to say Cesar Romero, better Joker than Jared Leto.
I have to agree with Ben. I mean, he was unpredictable. Of course, you know, it was the 60s, and you didn't, like, kill people technically, but
sure.
it was brilliant and crazy. That's just the way it was.
But at least Jared Leto shaved his mustache. In fact, he even shaved his eyebrows.
Yeah, that just makes him dumber.
Yeah, and going back to the backstory with him and I'm sorry for the dog. Going back to the backstory with him and Harley Quinn. Yeah, I number 19. I do not think the word acid means what they think it means.
Yeah. What? And also, no, yeah, she fell into that vat. That's not what acid does necessarily. It doesn't add up. I mean,
would you live for me? Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it goes back to it was the same chemicals that the Joker was dumped into that made him the Joker, which was, you know, that's been done in the comics, been done in the movies. Yeah, and that's also how they did it in the New 52 with Harley Quinn. She was dumped into the same vat of chemicals the Joker was.
Right, but let me ask you this. In any other version of that portrayal, of that scene, you know, with that transformation, was there a moment where the Joker contemplated whether he was going to, you know, keep her or let her die? Because that, to me, felt like a punch in the gut.
And I don't remember that she went insane because of electrolysis.
Right.
You know, I mean, she was already insane. That was the point. She became insane.
You mean electroshock relationship therapy? With him. Electrolysis, yeah. Is something else entirely.
Well, that could drive you insane.
Does that explain why the Joker has no eyebrows because of electrolysis?
Perhaps.
Well, it would explain Harley Quinn's getup too, which just, you know, oh my God,
Let's be completely honest. The reason that Harley Quinn was in this movie was so that they could have her in those tiny shorts. Because, I mean, come on. Like,
too much.
That's the thing. Like, we have all this, you know, people complaining you can't have overly sexualized characters in the comics anymore and blah, blah, blah. And then they go and say, okay, let's get the skimpiest outfit that we can get away with.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't see El Diablo in a Speedo. I mean, you know.
She was all the wrong messages that DC took away from Black Widow as a character.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Someone who's sexy, who can fight.
Yes. I mean, and the thing is, it's like, and all the male characters in the movie are like, ooh, look at her. Ooh, she's sexy. And it's like, that got old really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and again, it was just like... And that was the thing, too, with the whole Harley Quinn and Joker, too. It was like the Joker's obsession was Harley Quinn. You know, like he did whatever he went into that war zone to rescue her, you know. And,
right.
And she was dancing in that club and a guy looked at her the wrong way. So the Joker killed her. And it's just like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we adding this aspect to the story?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of things that were left to be desired about that whole depiction of things. And
although Margot Robbie, right? Robbie?
Yes,
right.
Margot Robbie.
She played it pretty well.
She did the best she could with what she had.
Yes. Yeah. Her and Will Smith were probably the best portrayals in this movie.
Both in the part and clothing.
Well, yeah. One and a half on the clothing, I guess.
Like I said, she did what she could with what she had.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she had the original outfit. She threw it aside to put on the tiny shorts.
Because that's what she was supposed to.
Can we talk about the problem with the characterizations of the quote-unquote villains?
Sure. The protagonists?
Okay. Yes. the protagonists, right. Yeah. The villains. All the villains that felt all the feels, apparently.
Right.
There were feels everywhere.
Who are you talking about particularly? Are you talking about Enchantress, or are you talking about Rick Flag and Waller?
No, Enchantress was fine. She wanted to screw everybody and destroy the planet. Fine. Okay, great. But all the other ones, Killer Croc, you know, there's a reason why his name was Killer Croc. He liked killing.
Right.
Again, he didn't have this, oh, I'm such a loner complex.
And, no, he was their Incredible Hulk character.
Pretty much, yeah.
Learned to control it for this film.
Right. Honestly, there were Killer Croc, Kitana, Slipknot, all of those characters could have just as well not been in this movie, and it would have made zero difference.
Right, but the characterizations were, they were trying to humanize them too much. That what Suicide Squad should be is a film about, it should be like the Magnificent Seven. It should be a bunch of people that in other circumstances you would hope would die at the end of the film. But the only reason that you want them to live at the end of this film is because there's a bigger, badder, meaner, worse thing coming down the pike. And what you're basically paying to see is Godzilla versus King Kong. You're not paying to see heroes. And that's what they were being portrayed as.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually don't have a problem with the portraying with the anti-hero, you know, hero complex depiction that they did in this. I'm okay with building them up as relatable, you know, people who could do better. Like, you know, for instance, with Deadshot. Deadshot, you know, was a very likable, very well fleshed out character. And he was essentially a mercenary. He wasn't a bad guy in that he did evil things. He did things for money. And, you know, that's an understandable premise. And because of that, he was a relatable character, you know, that had real issues that he was struggling to deal with.
Right. And historically, that was his character.
Right. And similarly, like, even Diablo, which I would have been happy to see more of that development. They kind of made him have this weird backstory where essentially he was a, you know, flaming Kaiser Soze.
Yeah, number 40. Didn't know Shanto Santana El Diablo could go Super Saiyan.
Yeah. I'm okay with the backstory they gave him, that they could work with that and make him a relatable character, but they did it too little too late. And it has to do with how they peppered it through the movie. Like, they could have given us more sooner. They could have made more of that, you know, reveal and handled it better than they did. And because in the end, like, humanizing him made his sacrifice feel more palpable, even though, and because of that, like, the problem is he made that sacrifice. But by the time the end of the movie finally rolled around, you almost forgot that he did. You almost forgot that he wasn't one of the ones that made it out.
And going along with those lines, number 30, El Diablo sacrificed himself for his new family of supervillains that he just met only hours before.
Right. So, you know, and again, along the lines of extraneous characters, Killer Croc was flat. Like, you couldn't get flatter. He was essentially a cardboard cutout of a character. And the only scene where they tried to make him somewhat useful is in that swimming through the subway scene.
But he didn't do anything.
He didn't need to be there because the soldiers were the ones who eventually set off the bomb. The only thing he did was fight off the, you know, some of the monsters that were in that the water.
Right.
But there was enough of those guys that if he wasn't there, I think things would have worked out just fine.
And he fought them off in the dark water in the darker film. You could barely see anything.
Yeah. By the way, did you know that originally the director wanted King Shark instead of Killer Croc?
Okay.
I don't think that would have been better.
No, I don't think it would have.
No, Killer Croc has historically also been in the Suicide Squad, so
yeah,
kind of works.
Well, and here's the thing, too. Like, I kind of think the proof that the writer and directors of this movie did not know what they were doing, when you have the scene where Enchantress is showing them the perfect world of what they really want. And I think they had Harley Quinn and Deadshot's dreams backwards. It would have been Harley Quinn that wanted to see Batman dead.
Yes.
And it would have been Deadshot who wanted to be with his daughter and having a normal life.
You were absolutely right. I didn't pick that up.
But no, they had it where Deadshot killed Batman. Why would Deadshot want to kill Batman?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get that he probably blamed Batman for being in jail in the first place. He was having a good run up until that point. But I don't think they nailed that in hard enough up before that point.
Exactly.
For that to be justified at that point. And honestly, like, the only one who got the, you know, oh, you just had a bad dream kind of explanation for why they were in these states was Rick Flagg. And yet, what was it? It was Diablo who could see, was the only one who could see through it, and they were all surprised about that. But there wasn't really any good establishing baseline behind that to make any of that make sense.
I think they were hinting that Diablo was maybe a creature from the same dimension that Enchantress was from. But again, Harley Quinn wanted the white picket fence. I mean, that's so far off. She's crazy. She is crazy. There's none of that. There's no middle class, you know, suburbia in her mind at all. And if there is, it's with the neighbors propped up on the front lawns like scarecrows after she, you know, stuffs them with Christmas turkey or something. They got that so wrong. I mean, again, trying to humanize her. It's like, oh, I feel bad because she didn't get the white picket fence. But that's not Harley Quinn.
Right.
Yeah, no. I think you're right. I think they got those perfect world scenarios backwards. I think they should have done them in a way that made it seem more like it was a believable transition from the reality they were just in, so that the explanation with Diablo made more sense.
Right, right.
Yeah. But again, it comes down to you can't for most of it, you can't see, you know, that they've cut this film up a lot. Yeah. You know that they did reshoots, and you can kind of see mostly towards the end and the beginning, you can feel where the cuts were made.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of explanation missing.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's not because, I mean, there's another thing. Why did Enchantress could free her brother and then her brother could give her strength, so that it didn't matter that that Waller stabbed her heart, then why did she wait so long to free her brother?
Well, that goes towards Amanda Waller. Okay, she's supposedly incredibly smart. In all portrayals, the good portrayals of her, she has like at least 15 fail safes at any given point. So number 28, you're dealing with magical witch, and you didn't think to protect all her possibly deadly stuff with magic instead of a schlag indoor lock. Maybe ask somebody like, oh, I don't know, Zatanna, Etrigan, Dr. Fate, John Constantine, Raven, Zatanna, Zatara, Vixen, Phantom Stranger, Tim Hunter, Dr. Colt, Mr. E, anybody. But no, you put it behind an indoor lock and that would stop Enchantress.
When you know she can get into any secure location.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Now, you bring up an interesting point. This is something I wanted to bring up at some point during this. Bringing up magic. So that's one thing I picked up in this movie that definitely clicked in my head immediately. When they explained early on the nature of Enchantress's abilities, yes, magic was thrown around, but it wasn't actually how Amanda Waller explained it.
Yeah, she said it was metahuman, right?
Extra-dimensional being that was tapping into alternate energies from alternate realities or something along those lines. So they're already establishing in the DCEU how magic will work.
Well, no, what they're setting up is Mixleplick, the movie. Seriously.
That's over well. Yeah, I want to see the gritty Zack Snyder version of that movie.
Well, I think they need to introduce magic because in the comics, you know,
there's a lot of magic.
Besides Kryptonite, the only other thing Superman is vulnerable to is magic. So instead of always giving us Kryptonite to fight him with, you know, let's do a movie where he actually is affected by magic.
But we don't need to worry about that. He's dead.
Yes, we know.
Oh, before anybody like makes any comments, I know it's pronounced Mixyez Pitlick, but, you know, I learned Mixleplick way back
all the time.
Yeah. Anyway, you're right. Just, I mean,
they said Mixleplick on the Super Friends.
Yes, I know. It's Mixyez Pitlick. But
there's no vowels. You're not going to say it right.
Mm-hmm.
So
anyway.
Okay. So talking about Enchantress once more, they picked it. Basically, she was Kryptonite. So they picked a villain that was too powerful for the heroes to seriously overcome without a Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah. So there really weren't any heroes. I mean, I guess if you're calling our Suicide Squad the heroes, yeah, they were sort of overpowered and outmatched. But here's the thing. They could have, and again, they screwed it up. If they were trying to use the Avengers as any sort of formula, the what made the Avengers work, what made the Avengers win in the end, was coming together and working as a team. And that's not what won the superhero or the Suicide Squad the day in this movie. What won them the day was just throwing random, everything at them, random shit.
And, random floor sword.
Right, and yeah, essentially just each of them tapping into their own best crazy. You know, it was a combination of Diablo going full flame on, and throwing everything they could, you know, at these characters when they could, and then at the end, Harley Quinn being the crazy, you know, freelance nut job that she is, and getting herself close enough to cut out her heart. But that wasn't teamwork. That was just cunning.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't even that, because she didn't know the sword was going to be sitting there on the floor right there. And, you know, it was
only they all threw down their weapons. She knew that their weapons were there. Something would be there for her to use.
That's thin. But you could go one step further. Okay, so they throw the bomb so that Deadshot can set it off. What happened to Enchantress's telekinesis?
Apparently it was weakened because she just lost her heart.
Uh-huh. You go with your bad self.
That's a good question. Like, I didn't even think about it when I was watching them.
Yeah.
And for that matter, where the hell was the Flash, Batman, Wonder Woman, anybody? Anybody? Bueller?
They're all busy mourning the death of Superman.
No, and that is a very good point. Now, okay, yes, I understand you talk about comic books and you can't have this hero show up at all the time. You can pretend they're doing something else, but there's a giant thing in Midway City that's
taking out battleships across the planet.
Yes, eventually they would have shown up. And again, like John said at the beginning, the point of the Suicide Squid is
squid.
The point of the Suicide Squad is to go on covert missions. This wasn't covert at all. This was, you know, like end of the world type stuff. And it was, yeah, just a total mess. I like the Flash. Why didn't the Flash show up? He could have been there. It could have got there in a flash.
Yeah.
But he doesn't live in Midway City.
But it doesn't matter. He can move as fast as the speed of light.
Well, maybe he saw that the bad guys were Ringo Girl and the Scooby-Doo reject and decided it wasn't worth his time.
No, if Amanda Waller was doing her job well enough, no one outside of Midway City knew what was going on in Midway City.
Oh. How could you not? And it wasn't just Midway City. They were taking out satellites.
Yes. That was in the last like half hour of things going on.
Okay, so half hour. How fast is the Flash?
And here's another. And here's a really important question. And it's Will Smith, I think, kind of said it at the end of the movie. He went, "I thought you were dead." How come she wasn't killed? Like, what was the purpose of her being kept alive at all?
Who are you talking about right now?
Amanda Waller. Why didn't the Enchantress suck all the information she needed out of her and then just kill her?
Or maybe turn her into one of her minions.
What?
Maybe that's not what she can do.
Then turn her into one of those slime creatures.
Maybe that doesn't allow her to access their information then.
But once she got the information she needed, she didn't need her anymore and turn her into a slime creature.
That's not what they showed us, though. They showed her actively gaining access to that information. Actively breaching her mind and getting what she needed
Once the Suicide Squad showed up, she should have either used information from Amanda Waller's mind on them to stop them, or turned her into some kind of big creature to fight them.
And maybe that's why she gave them the visions that she did, because that was what she got from Amanda Waller as to what their weaknesses / ideal, you know, fantasies would be.
Well, then Amanda Waller's intelligence wasn't very.
Besides, if she killed Amanda Waller, then the end credit scene wouldn't make any sense.
They would have just had a different guy that was you showed working with her earlier in the movie.
Perhaps.
Yeah, somebody named Coulson, maybe.
Okay, so anyway. So let's look at the big picture here. Let's think about how this movie fits and what this movie says about the greater DCEU.
Well, can I just put something forward first before we do that?
Sure.
Okay. The real monster here is paperwork.
What?
The real monster is paperwork, because Amanda Waller must hate the paperwork so much that it caused a psychotic break, making her not feel anything when she sanctioned all of those poor analysts because they didn't have clearance to do the work that she told them to do. Amanda Waller was a bigger villain than any of them, because at least the villains were portrayed as having feelings even for the people that they killed. Amanda Waller did not have any of that.
Okay. I will not argue with you on that, but I don't think it was that important.
No, I get what he's saying. That,
yeah.
You're right.
She was cold-blooded. She always has been, and I think that's an accurate depiction. She was a bigger villain than the villains constructed on the Suicide Squad.
Yep.
That's naturally how she's always been in the comics as well.
No, she did it for reasons to protect the United States, but she wouldn't. That the whole thing with just walking cold-blooded up to all these people that have been working for her for all that time and just offing them, just double-tapping each one. No.
And I'm sorry.
That's not.
That's another thing, too.
It fits perfectly in the Snyderverse.
That's another thing, too. It got me there.
They all just sat there and got shot. Like,
yeah, after the first person got shot, you'd think someone would start running.
Right. But
yeah,
no,
it's like, vacation already?
They all kind of just sat there and she shot them all. Like, no one jumped her? I mean, come on. Like, tried to stop her? And that's another thing. The Flag, yeah, he just kind of like just stood there. Like, yeah, she's going to kill people. It's all right. Like,
not even one. I haven't filled my timesheet out yet.
Right.
She was a bigger. She was the real monster in this thing. She was. She. If it wasn't for Amanda Waller, none of this would have happened.
Well, that's absolutely true. They established that scene one, pretty much. She created the villain she unleashed the villain.
Yeah.
That was the main antagonist in this entire movie.
Yep. So she's inept. According to her intelligence about what each of the villains wanted in real life, according to that, her intelligence was bad at best. And in the end, she is the sociopath.
She did at least one right thing right. Because, yes, she was the reason that Enchantress got what she needed to do what she did. However, the Enchantress wasn't created because of Waller. The Enchantress existed prior to Waller's intervention, and if she didn't put together the Suicide Squad, then chances are, whoever was sent to deal with Enchantress would not have succeeded.
Right, but if it weren't for her sticking everything into her bedroom closet, Enchantress would have gotten away anyway.
It would have been in someone's bedroom closet.
Ugh.
I have actually, before we, get to the whole bigger picture two thing, I have two very important questions, both about Harley Quinn.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So,
I do not know.
She's not that into you.
I don't know her bust size.
So we all saw Joker kidnap the guy who obviously created the chips.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he hacked her chip and turned it off.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. So question one, why did she go back? That doesn't fit with Harley Quinn's character at all. Not the
because
Harley Quinn they established in this movie, not the Harley Quinn that's ever been established in the cartoons or the comic books.
Because she was infected with the feels.
No, I think here's my thoughts on that. I don't think she went back so much as she was left at a loss and they happened to cross her. And she had nothing better to do at that point because she, as far as she was concerned, Joker was dead and her purpose was gone. And so she didn't know what to do with herself. And along comes the Suicide Squad, sauntering up next to her. And she was like, well, I might as well join you guys now, since what else the hell am I going to do? So I need something to take my mind off of how sad I feel about Joker possibly being dead.
I'll give you that, because the director just kind of clumsily had her take the pudding choker and throw it away, trying to symbolize that, I have no more purpose anymore.
Right.
So, okay, then here's my other question.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the movie, when Amanda Waller shows up, and Harley knows her chip is deactivated.
Yeah.
Why the hell didn't she just kill Waller right then and there?
Feels.
That's what Harley Quinn would have done.
Well, yes. Probably. But again, I don't think that Harley really fully realized had a sense of purpose. I mean, when she was asked what else she wanted, she asked for an espresso machine. So clearly she's contented with her lot. She's not necessarily motivated to do anything different.
Nah, that's out of... I think that's out of character, too.
It probably is. But there are worse crimes in this movie than that one.
Unfortunately, that's also correct.
Anyway, all right. So you were saying about the bigger...
So the bigger picture. So what does this movie add to the DCEU, other than a bunch of characters that may or may not show up ever again?
About $250 million this weekend.
See, that's the thing that bugs me most, because it actually broke records for an August release. It beat Guardians of the Galaxy.
But the only reason it is breaking records is because it's like Pokemon Go. All right, I hate to, refer back to, but it's like Pokemon Go. The company that made Pokemon Go had another game called Ingress.
Yep.
That never made a dent in the market because it didn't have a big name in it. Suicide Squad had a bunch of, I'm not talking about the actors themselves, although Will Smith, but it had big names in the DC universe that all of us geeks will go see because it is specifically Harley Quinn. Yeah. So we're going to go see this movie. Now, the big test, I feel the same way you do, but the big test is going to be next weekend what their box office is. Is it going to have the same drop that Batman v Superman did because of word of mouth?
Yeah, see, I think it will, but I think there was a missed opportunity here in this particular weekend for someone like Star Trek Beyond to do another marketing push to say, hey, look, we're better than these guys.
So it made $135 million domestically, $223.9 million worldwide. My answer to why it made that kind of money, Harley Quinn shorts. That's it.
No, there definitely was
Will Smith's mouth.
Right. Guns and sex sell. And characters that people recognize sell. And that's what people were going for. Characters and names. Will Smith, Jared Leto, Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. Those are all the reasons, and lots of explosions and guns are the reason that people went to see this in droves.
Well, right. And the other thing about this movie is, unlike a lot of other movies, this one has been merchandised up the ass. If you walk into any Hot Topic right now, all you're going to see is Suicide Squad paraphernalia all over the place. Yeah. That's it. So, again, it comes down to next weekend, it will probably drop at least by half because of word of mouth. Yeah. And unlike the Avengers stuff, people will still go out and buy the Avengers Blu-ray and DVDs because you can watch that multiple times.
Yeah.
And word of mouth, people who haven't seen it, when they ask their friends, they're going to say, oh no, you have to go see that. It was awesome. Did you see the Hulk punch that thing out? But with Suicide Squad, it's going to be like, well, if it's free to DVR,
yeah,
or if it comes with your subscription.
Right.
But they're not, right.
If it's a B-side to Batman, no, not even that. That wouldn't even do it. I don't know. I think it's gonna fizzle out really quickly.
Yeah, because again, I wouldn't watch this again. I've seen it. I've seen it on the big screen. Will honestly, I ever want to see it again? No.
Honestly, I only watched it so that we could have this conversation.
Pretty well. That would be my excuse for Ghostbusters. This one I would have gone seen regardless, being part of the problem.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm not going to tell anybody else to go see it. If they ask me, I'm going to tell them, wait until it's out on demand.
Yeah. No, if I had the choice, I would have spent the money on a different movie ticket.
Mm. All right. So for the DC universe, then, as you were saying,
so
it means we're in trouble.
Well, it does. I mean, one thing, actually a little thing it pointed out is they showed that back scene of Boomerang getting caught by the Flash. And he already has his shiny red armor. So it suggests that that's how the Flash is pre-Bruce Wayne's intervention.
Right.
So
where did he get the armor and why?
He made it himself, apparently. That aside, so I think that it's interesting to see where this is going to go next. I think there's definitely some characters from this that I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more of, more fleshed out in other movies.
Well, I mean, my first question is, do you think... Before we talk about where all the characters going in other places, do you think they would make a Suicide Squad 2?
No. Only because they're not going to make money off of this. I don't think they're going to be in the black on this movie.
That's what they said about Transformers 2, then 3, then 4, then 5.
But those were profitable. They did end up making money on those between international box office and even domestic box office, they more than made their money back.
Yes,
I don't
and
think
when
Suicide
they,
Squad will.
It will make enough money for there to be a number two.
Maybe, but unless there's a good reason that they feel story-wise that they need to do a two, I don't think they're gonna. I don't see it happening.
Well, according to some of the music that they added to make some of the old-timey music to kind of give a Guardians of the Galaxy feel to it, well, if Guardians of the Galaxy makes number two, then we should too.
Yeah,
go on. So some of the tracks they laid down at the beginning of this were specifically to give you a Guardians of the Galaxy feel.
I guess so.
Everybody's about the vintage music now.
I didn't have that feel though.
No, you did. Of course you did, because it wasn't really cut right.
I don't see a reason to do a sequel story wise, and I don't see anything that they could do with say a prequel or a side story with this that would be worthwhile.
Well, I mean, I just looked it up real quick. The budget was $175 million. And if they made $223.9 million...
Ah, jeez.
Budget doesn't usually account for marketing costs, though.
I know, but they just need one more decent weekend to justify a sequel.
Yeah. And again, this was merched up the wazoo. So they're going to cover their advertising costs with all the merchandising that they've done.
I just personally would rather see them invest that money into a think tank to come up with better ideas and invest that money in other movies that would be better. They'd be better suited to create in
the
universe.
The best thing they could do with that money is to hire Joss Whedon away to do the next Justice League.
So,
or Bruce Timm. We can't
make that stuff change. That stuff's already been hired up. I think they need to hire away Joss to do something else. It's like maybe a good, I don't know, Green Lantern Corps movie or something else that they haven't touched yet.
All right. So if we look at the characters that then going off into other possible movies, Enchantress is gone.
Ish.
Diablo.
I'm not convinced. Diablo is probably gone.
Diablo is gone. And Slipknot, the amazing Slipknot is gone.
the amazing Slipknot.
May he rest in peace.
So we're left with Captain Boomerang, Killer Croc, Deadshot, and Harley Quinn Joker.
Captain Boomerang, was Jai Courtney who did him?
Yeah.
I like Jai Courtney. He hasn't always gotten the best movies to do, but I don't think they're going to bring him back. And if they do, their writing is going to have to be completely different for him for his character to actually make a difference, to mean something.
Yeah. No, I don't see a reason to bring him back necessarily.
So, and then Katana, I'm not sure where you would fit her in at all.
See,
well,
Katana,
she's getting a movie, though.
She's getting her own movie?
I heard.
Yes. I'll take that with a grain of salt. I might look into that. But I would be behind, I'd be up for a decently written, done Katana story. I wouldn't say that she has to be the headliner, per se, but having something around that would be very interesting. Maybe a better backstory for her. Although I wouldn't necessarily watch it with subtitles, which is probably what it would end up being, given how they gave it to us here. Like, she did not speak a word of English in this entire movie.
Right.
No, that's true. I don't see the Warner Brothers and DC making a subtitled DC movie.
No, that would be difficult to watch.
So
then Deadshot, he was still in jail at the end of this movie.
Yeah.
Which would mean visitation,
which is good.
Right, which would mean he either escapes or someone breaks him out. So you would have to come up with a reason for someone to break him out.
Or he gets released, like his sentence gets shortened somehow.
Or he's just used as is, as a problem solver. He doesn't have to be released for a reason. They could just walk in and say, hey, you, come with us. We need you to do something.
Well, you know what would be actually a really interesting story? Would be to have Batman break him out, which would be completely messed up because Batman put him there and he kind of has a thing with Batman, so for them to partner up would be really awkward, but it'd be interesting.
Okay, I could, that's possible.
I don't see them doing it well, but
I know. but that
in the right hands, that could be an interesting kernel to work with.
See, that's creative writing. That would actually be interesting. Yeah.
Obviously Harley Quinn and Joker will get used again in something, probably Batman related, but I'm not looking forward to that either.
Well, which Joker though?
It's going to be this one.
They're going to sing him. No, which Joker, that or Luthor?
Well, and that's
they will team up, and then you won't be able to tell them apart.
I know.
That's the question. Can you see?
He was more of a Joker than the Joker.
This Joker and Harley Quinn going against Batman.
Only in backstory.
Only in backstory form.
Yeah.
Like I really don't care to see them rehash anything. Like, so going on the premise that Batman has been, you know, Batmaning it up now for over a decade or something like that, and he's old man Batman. He's already had those battles. Like, he's already fought with the Joker. He's already
lost Robin.
Right. And he's lost Robin. And to see that backstory fleshed out, you know, in flashbacks and scenes, in the solo Batman movie that Ben Affleck is going to make, that I'm okay with. I don't need to see Batman v Joker in the present tense, in another DC movie. Personally, I don't need that. I'd rather see something better.
Okay.
Because this Joker, it doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, I mean, unless they write a much better story around him. I don't know.
When the Joker walks into a scene, you should be worried that anybody on screen could die at any time. Didn't get that. Yeah, with this one, it was, he walks into the screen, you know everybody's going to die, so there's no surprise, and you're just sitting there waiting to see how it kills him.
Right, that's now the problem is, they established this character. The character's built. The character cannot be rebuilt again to be what it needs to be. It's really difficult to massage that to be what it needs to be.
Well, maybe they can have Dr. Manhattan come in and replace him. Now that I'd pay to see.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do.
Look, dude, as the DC guy, go ahead. Just go ahead. Take your shots. I mean, every time a new movie comes out, it's like, okay, free shots. Everybody, come on, go ahead. You know, I'll just stand here and take it.
So, yeah, I mean, we've already talked about the characters that didn't need to be in this movie. And there definitely were some characters that could have been better used elsewhere. I do think that there were choices that they made in this movie that color the way that we should expect things to unfold in future movies. For instance, the magic thing. Like, the whole approach to magic, I think, is a premonition to how they will treat magic in future DC movies.
And it just, as an offshoot of that, what is with, I mean, you look at the Doctor Strange promos, and it's talking about other dimensions and all that. What is it with the DC and Marvel universes not being able to say the word, look, this is magic? You know, why is it extra dimensional or, you know, just other dimensions and dimension and travel and dimension, look, this dimension that they don't know what dimensions are. They don't, obviously don't know what a dimension is.
I think that probably the writers at DC don't necessarily know that. They're copycatting a bit, but, I think the writers at Marvel know what they're doing and know where they're going with this. And I'm okay with that choice of direction when it comes to the approach of magic for that universe, for the MCU. I think that I'm very intrigued by it and hopeful for it, because it's better, I think, than just sort of saying, well, yeah, I know that you're used to all this science and technology, but magic's here too, you know, and not really having any real explanation for it other than it just works by having it. And the thing is, this is going to be similar to, like, in Thor, where Thor explained that, you know, the line of, you know, any science, you know, decently advanced, you know, is indistinguishable from magic. I think
except
this will
for
be
real magic.
I think this will be similar in that what they're they'll explain that what they're doing is interdimensional manipulations of reality. That'll get explained once. And we will grow to accept magic as a thing. And that'll be the end of that conversation. And I'm okay with that, because it's basically setting a framework of, here's how you suspend disbelief going forward, but we're going to keep throwing magic at you as if it's a thing.
All right. That's a good explanation. I know Marvel's going to do it well and in a way that we can accept. DC, I know we're going to see, well, fine, Mixoplex. Yeah. You know, or Batmite. Batmite.
Well, we already know what we're going to see from DC because we just saw it. Mm. So
Batmite.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And then, I don't know. I mean, the only place that Amanda Waller and Rick Flagg make sense is in another Suicide Squad movie.
Generally, yeah.
You know, I mean, I can see her being the, and not an antagonist, but the political person against the Justice League.
Maybe. Oh, I know where they would fit. If they spun off part of the DC universe to television. No, wait, that's not.
Yeah, there are like several storylines that could involve Amanda Waller and Flag. Well, first off, didn't Flag, I think, became another Captain Atom. What was his name? I can't remember. I think. I might be completely off that. But the thing is that Captain Atom, a storyline about John Jones, there's a lot of storylines that could go the way of involving Amanda Waller, you know?
Yeah. Yes, but do we want to see any of them?
Yeah, well, if you're going to do Justice League, they're going to have Martian Manhunter somewhere.
Maybe eventually. We'll see.
Yeah.
If they don't, we're seriously going to be, it's like, it goes from Superman to Batman to Wonder Woman to Martian Manhunter.
Right.
And it's already straight.
In the ideal world, yes, John, that's the way it goes. But they've already introduced a dark and broody Superman who is differently and underpowered from the comic book version. They've already diverged from what your hopes and dreams are. So
that is the most apt observation I've heard so far.
Right. I mean, and they're already like, they've already taken one character that from TV and put them in the movies when they could have picked any other superhero to put in the Justice League. They went with Flash. And so, I mean, now, not that, you know, I'm not saying Supergirl's a beloved show, but now to take Martian Manhunter, who's on TV,
that's right.
And then
unless they kill him off too, like they did Amanda Waller in Arrow, so nobody gets, you know, confused.
Did you know this was recently revealed that Stephen Amell had said there was a whole episode written with Harley Quinn in it, and
that doesn't surprise me.
And
me neither.
Yeah, and after they killed Amanda,
they got nixed.
Yeah, they nixed it.
Yeah,
because they killed Amanda Waller, or because of the Suicide Squad movie.
Both.
Hmm.
They killed Amanda Waller because of the Suicide Squad movie.
Right.
So the Suicide Squad did commit suicide, but only in the TV universe.
Right.
Yes.
Because
That's one thing from the DC Entertainment division is they're consistent.
Oh, God.
To be fair, most of the Suicide Squad in television was killed, so it was more of a homicide squad.
Yeah. Actually, their animated division, the Suicide Squad ones, They were pretty body laden, so yeah. You know, they were good. Plus, they were kind of rated R in some places, but much better storylines. If they had done that storyline, that would have been awesome.
Agreed. But unless, we have what we have.
We have what we accept. One day.
So
we'll get a DC movie in this extended universe.
Yeah, but not with the current CEOs, apparently.
Well, I mean, there is at least one good thing we can say about this.
It ended.
Well, there's that, but there's one thing that nobody, none of them had on this team.
Yes.
We can't wrap it up before we rate the movie.
Damn you and your logic.
It was a good try.
A good try. I'm getting hot here, so.
Okay, so. Let's do what we always do. Go around the room, final thoughts, and give a rating 1 through 10 capes. And we'll start with John.
Let's see. Out of 10 capes, I'm going to give it 3 Twilight Sparkle.
That's a lot prettier of a rating than I would expect you to give it.
Well, so was the beginning and ending credits, but what are you going to do? So, yeah. And because it just, you could tell where some of the cuts were. You know that they recut the thing to add humor. And apparently DC doesn't know what humor looks like. Whereas it seems to be effortless at Marvel. So I can't give it any more, and I would not recommend seeing this unless you can see it for a half price. I would not buy it, and I would get it on demand if it were free. It's a popcorn movie. It's not something that you'd want to see again after you've seen it once.
Okay, that sounds about right. Ben?
Well, I wish I did research on what I rated things in the past, because that would help me remember what my scale is.
Go with your gut, man. Go with your gut. Or no, go with your beard. Go with your beard.
I'm going to have to go with, I don't think I can give him more than 2.5. If I could, I would preemptively give this the Gothamic Award, but that's a TV award, so that doesn't really fit. but yeah, 2.5 tattered capes.
Tattered capes.
Wow. Are those the ones that Superman was wearing when he died?
They've been dipped in acid.
Yes. Yeah. obviously not in this universe, because that acid didn't do anything.
Except dissolve their clothes on.
Yeah.
All right.
And you, Dave?
All right. Well, I guess I enjoyed the movie slightly more than you guys. So I'm going to give it 5 capes.
Wow.
Mainly because I felt it was better than Batman v Superman in a lot of ways. I agree there were issues with it. But the one thing I think this movie had that Batman v Superman was missing...
Will Smith.
...was it actually had a little bit of... even though it was a movie about the villains, it had heart. It had more heart than Batman v Superman.
Yes, it's just that the heart was in the wrong place. Namely, right. In the villains.
Right.
Well, they were all villains.
There was definitely a whole subplot about heart.
Yes. So I kind of feel like they need more of that aspect in all of their movies. And hopefully this is a stepping stone towards better DC movies.
Maybe.
I'm optimistic, you know.
I don't know. I think we got the version we got because they were attempting to make it better. And I don't think that that worked so well. I can only imagine what the cut looked like before they re-shot things, though.
Yeah, that would have told us a hell of a lot of what direction this is going. You're absolutely right.
Well, in that version, Harley slept with all the men on the Suicide Squad.
Don't turn her into Starfire. New 52 version, of course. Not the good version.
The classic good version.
They all died at the end of the movie.
Right. And not by, you know, being valorous, but because Amanda Waller just pushed all their buttons.
So they pulled a Lost, basically. Which
right.
They should have.
Well, except that the Joker had disabled Harley's and the Joker killed Harley. But, you know, that's a whole other story.
Well, it is called the Suicide Squad, so maybe she just offed herself because.
Oh, there you go. That's even better.
She was the only one left, so she just went and killed herself.
Yeah. And just a note about the ratings. I like Ben, I don't remember what I rated Superman v Batman. So if this rating is lower, it's probably that I rated it a little bit higher than Superman v Batman and then adjusted it for disappointment.
It was adjusted for inflation.
Inflation of disappointment. Deflation. There you go.
I want to say that I rated BVS 4 stars.
I don't remember what I did, but...
Anyway.
It's capes, not stars.
You know what I mean. But there weren't any in this movie, Dave.
There weren't? Well, unlike our audience, who we know are all wearing their capes. So on that note, ladies and gentlemen, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.